he can look to the woman as much he can see from her, or what she allow him, or all these things. Now in this extreme, we found somebody in some countries, and even Islamic countries, that the woman goes to beg the wife, to beg the, what you call, the bride, for her son. And the son doesn't get to see the wife until the night of marriage. So everything been taking place, the khutbah and the dowry been paid and been agreed already about the marriage, and they conduct the ceremony, and after this he goes to the house, and here they bring the wife to him, and he have to take whatever his mother choose for him, and this it. This is also going to the extreme, you understand, and this is not the sunnah, and this is not the way how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us. The next hadith, we are not going to go too much details in it, because it's similar to this hadith number 831. ولمسلم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لرجل تزوج امرأة أنظرت إليها قال لا قال اذهب فانظر إليها. This is the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to this man, asked a man who had married a woman, have you looked at her? He replied, no. He is the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, go and look at her. I don't know if he mentioned hadith before I leave this subject, hadith Jabir. We have to look, there is hadith even to show us the practice of the Sahaba and the understanding of such a hadith. But basically the hadith that Jabir may Allah be pleased with him, that he used to hide for this woman, okay, he had attended, I could not find the hadith now, but Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, he telling us that he was planning to marry a woman, and he used to hide himself. I don't know where he used to hide. Did he go over the roof or in the tree? But he said, I used to hide myself from her until I got to see from her what had made me convinced to marry her. Maybe inshallah I can find it later. But basically the hadith here is authentic, both of them, and there is no harm for a man to look to a woman before marry her. And if he look at her and he decide after this that this is not the woman that want to marry her, this it, okay, is not to understand that this is the end of life, okay. Somebody says, so what does this mean? You understand, he can go and look to this woman, look to this woman, look to this woman, and 10 women he saw them, and as long as he's serious, sincere, he's not taking it as a game, because like we said in the beginning, if the taqwa of Allah is not in the person's heart, nothing else he can do with him. But as long as he's sincere and he's serious, and he hides for this woman, and after this he's not happy, and he hides for this woman, he's not happy, until he gets happy, this is permissible as long as he's serious. And always we have to have the taqwa of Allah concerning whatever we do or whatever we say. حديث نمبر 832 وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يخطب أحدكم على خطبة أخيه حتى يترك الخاطب قبله أو يأذن له الخاطب. متفق عليه. This حديث that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم is telling us, one of you must not ask a woman in marriage when his brother has done so already, until the first suitor gives her up for him. him or gives him permission. Okay, if somebody, this hadith first reported by Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith in the collection of Al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima. Maybe you need to put the air down a little bit more, Habib. Do you mind to come here? Please. So, the hadith is authentic. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that none of you go and try to propose to a woman which his brother already had proposed for her until that this woman refuse or that the brother said to his brother that you go ahead and marry her. That means it's not because somebody made a proposal now the other person could not go. But if a person made a proposal and the family accepted the proposal, he is not a husband, but he's a khatib. That means he's a person with intention. But he's still like any other man. But this is still have to be respected in the community, that not for any other Muslim to go and try to propose to this woman. Because the possibility that maybe the woman changed her mind. Now this is man with more money, or you understand he's a higher rank in the company, whatever it is. And this will bring about hatred and bad feeling among the Muslims. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he forbade the Muslims to do this. Otherwise that now the guardian or the family said, no, we are not giving you our daughter in marriage. Or that the person, he changed his mind now, and he go and tell the brother, I have no intention for this woman, you can go ahead and propose to her. So from this hadith we understand that it's forbidden for a man to make a khutbah over his Muslim brother intention. That this would be permissible if the family rejected him, or that the brother had give him a permission. That means the first one. That Islam is concerned about the brotherhood in the Muslim community, and to avoid any means and ways that bring about hatred or envy or jealous among the Muslims. And that all the Muslims have to be concerned about how to do things which bring about unity and love among themselves. Next hadith, which in page number 345. Habib, you put it up or down? وعن سهل بن سعد الساعدي رضي الله تعالى عن this hadith number 833 page number 345 عن سهل بن سعد الساعدي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال جاءت امرأة إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت يا رسول الله جئت أهب لك نفسي فنظر إليها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فصعد النظر فيها وصوبه ثم طأطأ رأسه. This is something very important here, okay? But I only stopped because I didn't think about it before. Here he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he looked her up and down. So it was not only the instruction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he himself, he looked at the woman. And you are not supposed to look in a woman in details, you understand? Except for intention of getting married. This woman was coming to propose to the Prophet, to give herself in marriage to the Prophet. So the hadith say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at her from feet to head, and from head to feet. That means he looked at her to see how she looked, how tall, how all these things, okay? But this is not, we get back to this, but something strike my mind, so I thought to share it with you. فصعد النظر فيها وصوبه ثم طأطأ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رأسه. You see, now the Prophet ﷺ, he put his head down because he now he doesn't have a desire for her, so he's not looking and staring and examining her like before now. فَطَأْطَأَ رَأْسَ Because the purpose was there. Now he has no intention, so now he lowers his gaze right away. فَلَمَّا رَأَتِ الْمَرْأَ أَنَّهُ لَمْ يَقْضِي فِيهَا شَيْئًا جَلَسَتْ فقام رجل من أصحابه فقال يا رسول الله إن لم تكن لك بها حاجة فزوجنيها قال فهل عندك من شيء فقال لا والله يا رسول الله فقال اذهب إلى أهلك فانظر هل تجد شيئا فذهب ثم رجع فقال لا والله ما وجدت شيئا فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم انظر ولو خاتما من حديد فذهب ثم رجع فقال لا والله يا رسول الله ولا خاتما من حديد ولكن هذا إزاري قال سهل ما له رداء فلها نصفه فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما تصنع بإزارك إن لبسته لم يكن عليها منه شيء وإن لبسته لم يكن عليك منه شيء فجلس الرجل حتى إذا طال مجلسه قام فرآه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم موليا فأمر به فدعي به فلما جاء قال ماذا معك من القرآن قال معي سورة كذا وسورة كذا عددها فقال تقرأهن عن ظهر قلب قال نعم قال اذهب فقد ملكتكها بما معك من القرآن متفق عليه واللفظ لمسلم وفي رواية له انطلق فقد زوجتك فعلمها من القرآن وفي رواية للبخاري أملكناكها بما معك من القرآن ذا حديث is authentic this حديث reported by سهل ابن سعد الساعدي may Allah be pleased with him this woman came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت يا رسول الله إني أهب لك نفسي I came to you to offer myself to you and this is exception only to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam okay this was exception a woman can give herself to the Prophet in marriage with even no dowry this could not be done for anybody except to the Prophet And this hadith also shows us a woman can propose to a man. Not only a man can propose to a woman. If a woman see in a man righteousness and goodness, she has the right that she can go and propose and ask that she want to marry him. But the condition of to give up yourself like this free, with no dowry, with nothing, is only for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Say, O Prophet of Allah, I came to give up myself or offer myself to you. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he looked at her from feet or from head to toe and from toe to head. That means he looked to see what she looked like, okay? فَصَعَدَ فِيهَا النَّظَرُ وَصَابَ And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped his head. That means he stopped looking at her, because that means he didn't feel that he inclined towards her, so he didn't look at her anymore. So, when the woman understood, she got the hint that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he is not want to marry her. She said, "A man from the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he got up and he said, O Prophet of Allah, if you are not going to marry her, so give her to me in marriage." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he asked him, "What do you have?" He said, "O Prophet of Allah, I have nothing. He said, go to your house and look, see if you can bring something to present it as a dowry. The man went to home, he looked everywhere, he could not find anything. So even the house, there is nothing in the house. He came back to and said, La wallahi, nay, by Allah, I don't have, I could not find anything. The Prophet said, go back home and look, even if a ring out of iron. That means something like almost no value, okay? Like almost like what? A quarter, something. But come with something, okay? Go even is something, a ring from iron. It's still a ring, but we can say that he gave her something, that nothing called free, gave something, okay? So the man went again and he did a good searching again the house from one wall to the other wall, if he has a wall in the house, okay? And he said, nay, by Allah, O Messenger of Allah, not even a ring of iron. But, by anyway, this shirt that I'm wearing, the reporter of the hadith or one of the Sahaba, he said he don't have a rida. That means, like he say, you're wearing a t-shirt, and after this you wear a soap over the t-shirt, like have two pieces, okay? So the man, he have a izar and rida. So the man, he said, this is the izar. The izar, some of them they wear a qamis, like what we call it soap today, and some of them they wear what? Izar and rida. A piece of cloth, not even sewn, okay? A piece of cloth, he wrap it around his private parts from the navel to the knee, and another piece he put it in his shoulder. So the man did not have even the other piece, he put it in the shoulder. That means he was walking with no t-shirt. He don't have a t-shirt. He don't have a rida. He only have one piece of cloth which cover his private parts. This is all what he got. But see, by the way, Prophet of Allah, this is what I got. She can have half and I can have half. You see what she's going to do with it. If she wear it, you're going to be naked. And if you wear it, she's going to be naked. Ah, what? So, and this shows you how some of the Sahaba, they do not even have, they have nothing. And this also will show us the permissibility of a poor man can marry. And if the woman willing to marry, let her get married. You see, if she ready to accept a man in this condition, this, nobody going to tell her no. Is he willing to understand to go to the fountain there in McDonald's when they get thirsty, drink some water and this it, and sit down under in the picnic table in Sydney Park and they married? It's fine. This is their choice, okay? Yeah. So Prophet, so what she's going to do with your reader? If she were to be naked, she oh. So the man after the, like he felt bad, so he said, he sat down and he waited. So and after this he decided to take a hike, like they say. He says it's not going to work, okay? Let me get out of here. So when he was leaving, the Prophet ﷺ sent one of the Sahaba, said, bring him back. The Prophet asked him, do you know some Quran? Now Sheikh Abdul Qadir is going to get heavy now. Sheikh Abdul Qadir say, oh, now I'm a half, I can go get one and two and three now, huh? He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do you memorize some Quran? He said, yes, Prophet of Allah. He said, that means can you say it by heart? You know it, or you only can recite it from Quran? He said, no, I have surah so and so, surah and so and so and so. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what? I gave her to you in marriage with this Quran that you have, that you would be the dowry. What? He teach her the surah. Teach her the surah, and this will be the dowry. Ridwan is heavy now. He says, is that easy? I don't know before. Okay? But we're living in America now, brother. Yeah. How much? What? Is this all what you're making? $800? Oh, come on. Brother, you go and find you another job, and after this, come talk to me about marriage. Hey, you like this, Imam, huh? Especially if you're living in Washington, the rent is very high there, huh? Yeah. We need to learn sabr, brother. We need to be satisfied with the little bit that... Oh, alhamdulillah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he marries this man to this woman, and with the Quran that he memorized. And so let's get some of the things that we supposed to learn from this hadith. Permissibility of a woman presenting herself, that means approaching a man or sending her wali to a man that she want to marry him. A woman does not always have to be waiting in her house until somebody come and ask for her. If she see a person that she desire, especially for the taqwa of Allah, she can take a step towards this. Number two, we learn the permissibility of a person looking of a woman for purpose of marrying. Okay? Also, we understand that the Imam, which he was in this condition, was the Prophet ﷺ, is the guardian for those who do not have a guardian. Also, the permissibility of using the Quran to be taught to somebody as a dowry. We understand from this hadith also the necessity of giving a dowry, and is a must. And also that is be known, so not to be any confusion later on between the husband and the wife. Oh, we agree about $5,000. No, I said five, but I didn't say five what. Okay, it have to be clear. $5 or 500 or 5,000 or five what. And the permissibility that can be anything, even if it's something very small. And alhamdulillah, I perform many wedding for $1. Okay, people married with one. Also, we learn from this hadith, a person is not supposed to give up from his ownership what is considered necessity in his life. Like the man, all what he has, the izar. If he gives the izar, so it's going to be naked. Okay, so now when a people have something considered a necessity of life, you shouldn't go give it to somebody and you go stay okay. You understand that this is a car. If you go give it sadaqah or donation to the masjid, you could not go to job. So what you go give your, take your car and say, oh, because somebody coming from Kosovo and I feel bad, so I give my car. So what? Your wife going to kick you out. How are you going to go to your job? How are you going to go to your... So they told me about Kosovo and the people, so I give my car. How are you going to go? It's no bus. It's no any way. And if you walk, it takes you 3 hours. By the time you go there to your job, they fire you. You see? So what is necessity, consider necessity of your life, you do not go give it away, and after this you stay with nothing. You see? Yeah. Also, the permissibility that a person can swear by the name of Allah, even if nobody asks him to swear. Like, you know, the man, the Prophet said, go and look for this. He come and say, I swear by Allah, I don't have this. Say, go and look for this. Come and swear by Allah, I don't have this. The Prophet ﷺ did not ask him to swear. And the Prophet ﷺ did not admonish him and say, why are you swearing to me? So this shows you the permissibility of a person can swear about something even if there is no request for swearing. Also, we learn from this hadith something which is very important. We need it here in America, because we get a lot of people coming from the Greyhound bus station. Oh, brother, you understand, somebody stole my wallet and all the stuff, okay? And I need, you understand, $50 to go to Washington. Say, okay, brother, you from Washington? Yeah. Who is the Imam there? Imam Abdul Mubdi? Okay. I know his phone number. Imam Abdul Mufti, assalamu alaikum. We have a brother here by name so-and-so and say he comes here. Imam Abdul Mufti say, I never heard this name, I never saw this person. Okay? So verification of things is important. From where we learn this, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went about the man, he said, go get this. He said, I don't have it. He said, go and look. He went to look. He said, I don't have it. He said, okay, what about you go and found a ring from iron? He go, and after this he come back. So all the things that verification and the try to questioning the person and the try to see if he really serious about what he claiming or no. Also the permissibility of performing the wedding by any of these statements, that tamliq or nikah or tazweej, okay? And one thing here, also from this hadith, that the person, you know, the Sahabi, he didn't step in until the Prophet ﷺ, he put his head down. So he understood that the first one, which is the Prophet, is not interesting anymore. Now he questioned. So we learn that we are not supposed to do this until the first person, he give it up. We one thing here I want to make it clear, because some people they may think that the marriage, it have to be a long ceremony and you have to say this and you have to do this. All what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, okay, مَلَّكْتُكَ إِيَّا بِمَا مَعَكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ, okay, I give her in marriage to you with whatever Quran you have, okay, and with only three words he said it, okay. So does not have to be, although there's a Prophet ﷺ from the Sunnah, he used to say خُطْبُةِ الْحَاجَةِ, but in some cases, as example, if somebody come and for whatever reason, somebody say, well, when did these people get married? I don't think so. If two people come and say, okay, this is my daughter, and I know the person, and this is witness, and I want to give my daughter to Ridwan, you understand, for marriage. So I say, okay, tell him, okay, say, Azawajtuka Ibnati, say, Kabil, finish. This is it. Say, oh, when this? We didn't hear anything, you understand, they only inside the mosque for 1 minute. Does not have to be half an hour. See? So what actually the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, he said, go, I give her to you in marriage with whatever you got from the Quran. So the only word that he used, what, مَلَّكْتُكَ هَا, this was the only word the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, okay. And the man, when he asked, he said, what's the wujni, okay, give her in marriage. So it can be only a term, as long as the condition of the marriage from the dowry, the guardian, the witnesses, and these things is available, say, okay, I give her in marriage. The person say, I accept it, this it. This can be marriage and acceptable, so does not have to be a long ceremony. We go to the next hadith, and حديث نمبر 824 وعن عامر ابن عبد الله ابن الزبير عن أبيه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أعلنوا النكاح. حديث is حسن, the حديث is good, acceptable, reported by عامر ابن عبد الله ابن الزبير that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to announce or to publicize or to make it known, marriage to be known, okay, and minimum of making known, okay, that the two witnesses, okay, and the people to be informed, to be informed by being there in the ceremony, or the people later on say so and so got married. And this is also to avoid suspicion in the community, because as example, half an hour ago so and so is not married to so and so, and somebody was riding the bus and these people just came to the the masjid, they get married, they walk in as a husband and wife. Somebody, city bus driving, and after this, riding the bus, sees these two people walking together. Okay? Yeah. So, to avoid suspicion, and we see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although he's the Prophet of Allah, okay, and one day he has i'tikaf in the masjid, and he out of his kindness he walked with his wife to the end of the masjid. She came to the masjid and now she finished her visit. So like he walking here to the door, and was time was dark, and two Sahaba passing by, and when they saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talking to a lady, okay, and it's dark, they don't know this lady, so they start to walk faster out of respect, you understand? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, ala rislikuma, slow down, innaha Safiya, innaha Safiya, she is my wife, Safiya. Say, O Prophet of Allah, astaghfirullah, like, how we can suspect you? Okay, he informs us, this is my wife, so and so. Say, how we can suspect you, O Prophet? He said, it's not this. I don't want you to keep walking. And after this, the shaitan will whisper to you. And this can be a destruction. Because if the shaitan did this to you, and you get to believe it, it's serious. This can be your destruction, because now you think something bad about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if you did so, this is danger for your deen. It can be your destruction. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was concerned about his ummah and about these two men, not to be misled by the shaitan and give a room for the shaitan to put suspicion in their heart. So right away, wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah, he slows them down and informs them. So when somebody get married, will be good that we made this known, so the people know that so and so is a husband and wife. Okay, but this not to go to the extreme. Now some people understand, say, yes, the Prophet said, and now is the marriage, so they go and bring, you understand, all this music and dancers and belly dancer, whatever it is. Okay. Yeah, some people laugh, even in Islamic countries, they do things like, they say, we are announcing the marriage, okay? They bring this professional music player and play dancer, and they have, you understand, the wedding for 3 nights and 3 days, and all kind of custom, okay? This is cultural stuff. So, we have to be reasonable in everything that we do. Next hadith, which in page number 347, hadith number 835, وعن أبي بردة عن أبي موسى عن أبيه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا نكاح إلا بولي لا نكاح إلا بولي. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that there is no nikah. First the hadith reported by Abu Burda from Abu Musa from his father, and the hadith in collection of Imam Al-Bayhaqi and Ahmad and Al-Tirmidhi and Ibn Hibban, and excuse me, I jump this hadith to the next hadith. The hadith reported by Abu Burda from Abu Musa from his father, and that the hadith in the collection of Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, Al-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and Ibn Hibban, and the hadith is authentic. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying la nikah, that mean no zawaj, that mean no marriage, illa, except biwali, okay, the presence of the guardian or the conscience the approval of the guardian, okay? He doesn't have to be sitting there, but at least he's aware about it, and he gives his consent. He can send somebody to act in his behalf, okay? So the guardian or the wali, he can send. As example, if the father, he has an emergency, he have to go. Or the son, or the brother, or the uncle, okay, whosoever is the guardian of this girl or this woman, some emergency come, he can send, you understand, somebody in his behalf to be in the marriage, to let the person who conducting the marriage that the father have give his consent. But we have to understand that is no marriage be acceptable, could not be called marriage, until the guardian of this girl or the person who is the wakil of this woman will approve and agree to this. وروى الإمام أحمد عن الحسن عن عمران ابن الحسين مرفوعا لا نكاح إلا بولي وشاهدين. Okay, this is the next one, next narration, it adding more condition, and this is the two witnesses. The hadith is authentic, which is saying that there is no nikah, there is no marriage without a guardian and two witnesses. Okay, so we, from the story that we heard before about this woman who came to present herself to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we learn that one of the condition of marriage is what? Dowry, mahar. And from this hadith number 835, we know one of the condition is the what? Is the wali, the guardian. And the other version is saying, okay, it add what? Two witnesses. This is the third condition for the marriage. لا نكاح إلا بولي وشاهدين. That there is no marriage without a guardian and two witnesses. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أيما امرأة نكحت بغير إذن وليها فنكاحها باطل فإن دخل بها فلها المهر بما استحل من فرجها فإن اشتجروا فالسلطان ولي من لا ولي له. This hadith number 836 in page number 347. The hadith is authentic, and the hadith in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood, Sunan Abu Dawood, Sunan Tirmizi, Sunan Ibn Majah, Ibn Hibban, and Al-Hakim. The hadith is authentic. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, what the meaning is, if a woman marries without the consent of her guardian, her marriage is vowed. Void is void. If there is no cohabitation, excuse me, if there is a cohabitation, she, that mean intercourse, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. She gets her juncture, juncture for, she get what? Her
jointure.
Why I don't speak my English better? Why I hold the book in my hand? This hadith is saying, are you there, Imam? Okay. You still awake, huh? Okay, I don't hear any noise there, so maybe, yes, somebody taking a nap or somebody likes the subject. He said, if any woman gets married without her guardian, her marriage, okay, is void. is not acceptable, is not in marriage. If the man have intercourse with her, okay, she will deserve the dowry as a result of having intercourse with her. Okay, I'm going to say it again. If a woman got married without her guardian approval, this is not count as a marriage. And if this continued and the man went here with her to the house, they slept together, having intercourse together, okay, she will keep the dowry. She will keep the dowry as a result of having intercourse with her. And if they have debate and argument concerning this matter, okay, so the Sultan will be the guardian for those who have no guardian. Okay, now number one from this hadith, a woman have to have a guardian for her to get married. If she did like some people go to the imams in some Islamic center here with no guardian, with no anything, and they get married like this, and later on the father or the brother or the son or whatever the guardian get to know about it, and he will separate between them, okay, this is not marriage, number one. Now if this man slept with the woman already, say, okay, now she's not my wife, I want my dowry back. No, we say you lose the dowry because you already had slept with her. Okay, you will lose your dowry. And in a case that there is no a guardian, okay, there is no guardian, or that there is guardian, okay, but there is a dispute. So the Sultan, the ruler, the head of the state, or whosoever that he put him in charge, he will be the guardian for those who does not have a guardian. And as a result of this hadith, this is what we saying to the people in any community, especially in this community. If a Muslim woman does not have a guardian, a legal guardian, Muslim, that means her father is not a Muslim, her uncle is not a Muslim, her grandfather is not a Muslim, she doesn't have a son, a Muslim, okay, her brother is not a Muslim, she don't have any of this male usba of her to be a Muslim, the only one will be her guardian is the person is in the charge of the community. Okay? Because he will be in a fashion of having a sultan or having authority in the community, that he will be the person that he can, in a matter that there is a dispute, that he can go and try to settle the dispute, because he's the one who can call the community or disperse the community, or can go and try to ask the community to assist him to bring this woman out of this marriage, or to stop this man to enter, whatever it is. So he is in a form, okay, in some kind of capacity that he's in the authority. Okay? He in a capacity with some kind of authority, although he doesn't have the authority of the army, but in the absence of the Khalifa or the Amir or whatever you call it, so the Imam in the Islamic center or the Imam in the mosque, the person who is in authority, that people respect him, or when they have a dispute they may come to him or something like this, he should be the guardian. And as I stated in Khutbat al-Jum'ah before, that any woman she doesn't agree with this, hey, it's a free country. She can go and have whosoever she want to be her guardian, but let's be fair, the same way you didn't come here for marriage, don't come here when you have a problem with your husband. Oh, he's beating me now, he's dragging me by my hair, he understand this and that, and now the only one have to jump for her, who is the imam. No, this is not fair, okay? Same way you understand that you call in so-and-so in your sweet time, call in so-and-so in your bad time, okay? But don't come, you understand, drop your problems in the imam, but when there is no problems, now you're taking your business someplace else. And this also to keep some kind of control, what's going on in the community, okay? In some comments we hear about a woman married 7 times, and we don't know when she got married, when she got divorced, and did she have the proper iddah or no? And the brother so and so, and give her because the brother has a beard, or it's because the brother he wore a thobe, or because the brother he go, you understand, to like he may go sometimes volunteer, what do you call it, like a volunteer, make volunteer service in a hospital or in a prison to give the brother sometimes a khutbah. Now, because some people, in actuality, this is happening. They fishing in a dirty water. You know what? Walaikum salam. You know this, Rasuli, what this mean to fish in a dirty water, okay? They don't go in the clean water and fish, they go in the dirty water. So they, oh, this brother, I understand. So now they, because they don't want to bring the problem or what is going on to the imam, because, oh, the imam going to bring her this books and the law and tell her this haram, this, she don't want this stuff. So now over the phone, yeah, you marry her, yeah, I marry him, oh, now you are divorced, you married. Next day, couple of months or couple of weeks, she married to another person. And it's too much, you understand? I hear about somebody married 7 times in less than a, how in a less than a year a woman can be married 7 times? Oh, because brother so-and-so. Now you accept a brother so-and-so to be an imam and he's a religious leader and give you the fatwa. So why are you coming back to me? You see, this could not be, this is, we could not be playing games with our marriage. People have to respect their private parts and understand how serious this business, and we could not be mixing things like this. Rasulullah sallam saying, لا تسقي زرع غير, لا تجعل ماءك يسقي زرع غيرك. Don't let your water irrigate the plants of somebody else. You see? Because what this mean? Ma'ak, that mean your cement.